This is Morgan Michael, welcoming you to Kindsight 101, the podcast, where you'll hear from world-renowned educational leaders about the mobilizing power of kindness, together by challenging our assumptions and venturing beyond the status quo in education. We can make a big impact, one small act at a time.
Because you shared your story and you were brave, that kindness continued to scatter well beyond that one person who received your act of kindness.
Tamara Letter is a mom, tech integrator for her district, educator, and recent author of the incredible book, A Passion for Kindness. You can find her on Twitter, at Tamara Letter, by searching the hashtag #PassionForKindness, TamaraLetter.com, and by buying her freshly minted book, A Passion for Kindness, anywhere you buy your books. I'm so excited about our second part of our interview because Tamara outlines a step-by-step way to roll out a kindness fair in your school or district, which is super fun and really, really impactful. So please stay tuned for some really wonderful ideas here.
I know that you actually teach kindness classes, which I think is incredible, and I'd love to learn more about how you structure that learning journey, and that you do something called the annual kindness fair, which just got me super, super excited and inspired. So I guess I'll leave it to you to sort of tell me a little bit about how you impart your kindness knowledge on your students and how you get them fired up.
Well, I love talking about that. That's my favorite topic. Talking about how to take kindness, take the passions in your heart and bringing them into your job and working with students, especially as an educator, it is just, it's like the magic moment of bringing what I love and what kids love and meshing it all together. And it's just absolutely magical. So several years ago, I'm actually a technology integrator now. I've taught several different states, several different grades, and I finally decided to be a technology integrator. So the main crux of my job is to actually work with teachers, and I provide them professional development. I teach them how to use technology in the classroom. I help them to design and create resources to just for good instructional practice. And in that switching from the classroom teacher to that technologist role, the one thing that I missed so much was working directly with the students, because mm-hmm. I was used to having kids all day long and coming up with all of these unique learning experiences. And then all of a sudden I had no students. And so in the collaborative planning with several of the teachers in my school, I was brainstorming about kindness, and it actually started as a blogging club. Because I wanted to take what I was doing and blogging about kindness and kind of bring that in. And I had just a couple of kids selected from each of the classes in fifth grade. And it was kind of close to the end of the year, but I thought, you know, I don't want to wait to the beginning of the year. I want to start now. I've got the idea. Let's roll with it. And so the kids came, and yeah, it was great. They were learning how to do digital writing. They were using a blogging platform. We were getting the technology in there. But the content of what they were writing about was kindness, and they were sharing their stories. And to see those stories from a child's point of view made me realize that I couldn't stop with just blogging. Mm-hmm. Kindness is so, so important to directly teach students mm-hmm. and not expect it to be done by someone else or expect it to be done in a different way. That I made that my priority, and I went back to the teachers after that school year was done. And one teacher specifically said, hey, you know, if you're thinking about doing this a little bit more, I would love to do some of these lessons with you throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So in talking with her, her name's Lori Cross, and she's a fourth grade teacher at my school. And talking with her and brainstorming some crazy, cool, fun ideas, we decided to write a grant to get a little bit of funding, because we just were dreaming big. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could do this and do that and have this project and that project? And you can easily do kindness lessons or kindness themed learning experiences with no money at all.
Sure.
But we were dreaming big. So we were go big or go home, right? We wrote a grant to the Hanover Education Foundation, a grant proposal, and it was fully funded. That was such a highlight moment. Oh my goodness. We were so excited because it validated our vision of empowering students to be kindness cultivators themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the following year, we dove in and we had lessons, one or two lessons every month. And they varied depending on what we were talking about. We would read books about kindness. We would talk about kindness words like empathy and compassion and really dive deep into what those words, how they're different and how they're the same and how we can actually do them. We had kindness calendars where the kids were keeping tally marks of how many acts of kindness they had done. And we just kind of built it up and built it up. And then in the spring of that year is when that magic moment came to life. And we told all of the students in our class, now is your chance to change the world. We're going to give you a $10 bill and you can do anything you want with this $10. Our only requirements are that you have to spend all of it. You can't spend it on yourself or your immediate family. You have to go out in the world and make it a better place.
Wow.
And we got the parents on board. They signed off saying, yes, they would help their kids drive them to different locations. The kids planned out projects. We called them their kindness passion projects. They got an idea. They figured out who they wanted to bless. They did research. They realized they couldn't buy a lot for $10. So it was a really good lesson for them because they had high hopes and dreams too. We had to, you know, sadly tell a group of girls that they, even if they joined their money together, they could not buy that horse saddle for their friend. It's not going to happen. But it forced them to have a realistic picture of what they could and could not do. We had done so many free acts of kindness throughout the year. They had a really good grasp about that, but they hadn't really been empowered like adults are to actually do something with money. That's a big deal when you're 8, 9, 10. And so they planned out their projects and then they completed their projects over spring break with their parents' assistance. The kids who couldn't or didn't have the resources to do it with guardians at home completed their acts of kindness at school with us and we got the supplies that they needed. And they then worked on preparing a presentation that documented all the different things they had done. So in a really weird way, we kind of set it up like a science fair and we called it a kindness fair instead. And they had to create a presentation that documented their materials and their procedure and their purpose and their results and their reflection.
But I can't even contain my excitement because I think this is the perfect combination between inquiry-based learning and kindness. And it is so applicable to the real world. It's brilliant.
It is a win-win in so many areas because we wrote the grant to be emphasizing English and language arts because the students were having to articulate what they were doing and how they were going to do it. But we tied in their science standards of learning because it really was a little bit of the scientific method built in there. And then the math was woven in because they were having to create their own budget and they were having to figure out, you know, what they truly could afford. And they had to, like you said, use those life skills. They discovered very quickly they could get more things at the Dollar Tree than they could at Target.
Mm-hmm.
And that impacted some of their decisions on what they were going to do for other people. Some students decided to actually join their money together to have more money because they realized that they couldn't buy a bag of dog food and also buy a dog toy with $10. Mm-hmm. They needed more money. Some students divided their money and said, well, I want to do more than one act of kindness for a person. I want to do a little bit something here and a little bit something there. And the creativity, oh my graciousness, the creativity that came out of these projects was phenomenal. We had one little boy who took his $10 and he went to the Dollar Tree and he bought 5 balloons for $1 each and 5 boxes of candy. And then he went out into the parking lot right in front of the Dollar Tree and he looked for cars that had car seats.
Oh.
And if he saw cars with car seats, he put 1 balloon and 1 box of candy on that car with a little note about this being the kindness passion project and what he was doing. But I was so blown away about his thought process and how deep it went. It wasn't just about, oh, I'm just going to give somebody some candy. He was deliberately seeking out families that had children because he knew children would have the most joy from that kind of surprise on their car.
Wow. 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 Were there any other, I'm sure you had so many ideas that came out. And I know that sometimes it's the stories that really inspire people to create their own acts of kindness, or even I just think for children, when we give them a few little sparks of ideas, they can sort of make that bloom into something else, right? So are there any other ideas that jump to mind that were really creative or out of the box or really, you know, really kind and just over the top?
Well, it's always fascinating to me to see what the students come up with, because the constant is the $10. They all have the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. So there is a bit of a limitation on how grandiose their projects can be. And really, it's only limited to their creativity and how that connection they make with their project and their passion. So I know last year we had a young lady who in school had learned about the Great Garbage Patch, which is this part of the ocean where the plastics and the trash all kind of eventually end up. And it ends up being this kind of the swirling area of just garbage in the middle of the ocean. And we talk a lot about conservation with our fourth and fifth graders, because we learn about the Chesapeake Bay, which is in our state, and how if you put something in the water, it's going to eventually end up in the bay and it's going to eventually end up in the ocean. And so you have to be very mindful of that. And the kids do projects and things. Well, anyway, this little girl was so just disheartened by that great garbage patch in the ocean that she realized, you know what? I may not be able to fix that really, really big problem, but I can do something really small today to make a difference that might be a little ripple effect for that big problem. So she spent her $10 buying rubber gloves, garbage bags, and little tools to help her pick up trash. Mm-hmm. And then she went out to through the woods to a little pond area, and she chose to spend her time and her money picking up trash.
Hmm. Powerful. Really so powerful. Yeah,
it is. It's those little moments where you realize, oh my goodness, maybe this little girl's going to grow up. And this act of kindness is somehow going to play a part of her life journey in her career one day. Maybe this is the spark that creates an environmental passion in her soul. You never know.
Yes. And I think about what is the purpose of education, right? I think deep down, it's this need to identify and seek to solve some of the world's really interesting or difficult problems, right? And so what this whole process enables a child to do is really to live that process. And then through that experience, they can apply that and repeat it on an even grander scale. And I just think it's brilliant. I love it. How can teachers either learn more about this, or what would be some of the steps that a teacher might take to start something like this in their own school or district?
Well, if you want to do kindness passion projects, you can do it at any level. It can be a very minor thing, or it can be very grandiose. We tend to do ours a little bit on the bigger end because we want it to be a celebration of sorts with their projects. And so when we do our planning, we actually start talking and planning right about this time of year, and usually about February, we roll out the ideas to the students and we kind of unveil the kindness passion projects and talk about, you know, just planting the seeds of, hey, you know, now you get to do your own project. What do you want to do? Again, if people did not have money, you could easily say, okay, you're going to pick, you know, do something for free, but you still have to go through all the different steps. So one thing that we do is we use Google Classroom to kind of help us with that planning and help us guide the students through the different steps, because we can have instant access to anything that they're writing or doing.
Yes.
And so we'll have a planning template that will make in Google Slides, where every child gets their own presentation and the slides are blank, but on the notes section at the bottom of their slides, it'll tell them what they're supposed to write on that slide. So like the first slide would be a title, the second slide would be the purpose, the third slide would be materials. And so when we unveil the projects, we dive right into, hey, here's the template. We're going to teach you how to do Google Slides in the process of all this. So that's why we start a little bit sooner, because some of the students may not have been using that particular technology before. Sure. If your students are used to using Google Slides, then hey, roll right into it. They're good to go. So then we go and really we just time, you know, if it's important enough to do it, then it's important enough to carve out time. And so our teachers, they have one day a week that they call it their no break day, where their students, the teachers don't get a planning time that day in the elementary area. So one day a week, their students don't go to music, don't go to a library, they're with them. So a lot of times the teachers will use that time because it's unencumbered time. It's not time that had already been scheduled out. Yes. And that'll kind of be their kindness time that they'll use. And so they'll start working with the kids and having them work together and brainstorming ideas and starting with the who do you want to bless? And then working towards the what do you want to do? And then work towards the how. And once the kids have a general idea, we also give them a planning guide. They have kindness journals that we carry throughout the year, and they jot down acts of kindness they see or do throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And in that planning, in that kindness journal, we'll also glue in a planning page. So that way, even if they're not near a computer, they can still jot down ideas as they come to them, and then start planning out what they're going to need. And then we'll have a kindness conference mm-hmm. with them. And that's where we sit down and we realistically say, okay, love your idea. But I think we're going to tweak it a little bit. Like one year we had, I think we had 8 kids out of the class want to all do something for the SPCA because they were all animal lovers.
Right.
And so once we got to like the second and the third group of kids or individual kids, we were like, okay, so we know you love animals and we know you want to bless an organization. Let's see if we can find a different organization that's not the SPCA, but might also have a similar vision. And then it kind of broadened their horizon to see, yes. Wow, there's a lot of things out there. Or maybe you don't even have to do that. Maybe you might want to buy some tennis balls and take them to a dog park, and then you can see the dogs yourself. You know, so it's kind of guiding them a little bit. So we have those kindness conferences, and those happen usually about March, about a month after we've rolled out the project. And then we like for the kids to do their acts of kindness during spring break, because we like it to be a family connection. Mm-hmm. If they're doing it on their own, that's fun and that's great. But to have that family involvement, it matters. It makes a difference. And it's a great way to kind of bring the families in so they can also see, what are we doing? What is a kindness lesson? What is all this about? You know, and they can have a part in that. And it makes for this memory too, for the mm-hmm. family, something they did together, which is becoming harder and harder to do with with all the technologies and things out there that tend to kind of divide us sometimes. They come back after spring break, which is usually sometime in April. And then we have about a month. And really a month is like 2 or 3 class periods, because they're only working on this, you know, a couple of days out of the month. And that's where it is 100%. You're making your presentation. You're reflecting on what happened. You're designing, you're creating, you're practicing how you're going to say what you're going to say. You're working with a friend. You're having someone peer edit, you know, diving deep with all that. And then because we do a kindness share fair, it's just their normal class period. They come in, we have the laptop set up, they kind of stand there and they wait for people to come, and we hope that stakeholders will come. You know, we send out invitations and send out flyers to people and hope that people will show up. And last year was great. We had over 50 people show up. It was incredible to see all these adults from our local community and our school board office and businesses. I mean, it's a great way to kind of tie in the community as well. And the kids stand there and they talk about, you know, their moment to present. It's their language arts, their oral presentation, their persuasive moment where they can try to share their new found passion with others. And then we have during that share fair time, again, you can go as grandiose as you want. It could be very something as simple as just sharing it out, or kids can make digital projects to share, which we do. We put them on a website. So if you couldn't make it to the share fair, you can still see the kids' projects. We have random act of kindness giveaways. We do raffle tickets with little prizes that were donated or prizes we bought. And then we always have a call to action. So people that come to our kindness share fair, we give them post-it notes and we're like, how did our story impact yours? What are you going to do now to make this world a better place? And then those people kind of make their dedication and put it on our wall. So by the end of the share fair, the kids can see, look at the ripple effect you started with your project. Yes, you blessed somebody with your act of kindness, but because you shared your story and you were brave, that kindness continued to scatter well beyond that one person who received your act of kindness. And I think that is such a powerful lesson that students don't often get the opportunity to have.
Yes, absolutely. I am nodding my head furiously because I just think all of that is absolutely true. And then having these stakeholders from outside of the school system also, I'm sure there's probably business leaders who come and who are invited. And I just think what a validating process for students to see that this work connects to people outside of the school system, to possible, you know, employment or paths outside of that, and what a difference they make. So I just think it's a beautiful illustration of that lesson of you can make a difference, you have a voice, and you inspire people. I just think it's wonderful.
I want to thank you for the wonderful reviews that you've left for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews make a big difference in helping other educators find this show. If you think that I'm doing good work here and you'd like others to get inspired and join our 21-day kindness challenge and movement, I'd love it if you would take a minute, head over to iTunes, and leave a review. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Kindsight 101, the podcast. For links to resources mentioned in this episode, visit smallactbigimpact.com and click on our podcast and choose this episode number. Now, I'd love to give my audience a heads up about my new book, which will provide ideas, actionable strategies, and inquiry-based approaches to creating kinder classroom through serving the community. Subscribe to my blog for more information. Now, I would love to hear from you. What's the biggest insight that you gain from this conversation? Head over to our website, smallactbigimpact.com, leave a comment on our podcast page, or tag and connect with us on social media with the hashtag #SmallActBigImpact to share your inspiring story of kindness. Can't wait to hear from you.